everyone, welcome to More Than Mises Guys Holiday Edition, because we are giving you all you what, hopefully what you want. We have some storybooks, the old read-along storybooks with the tapes or Yellow Cliff Jumper included or whatever, what have you. And here with me this week is Boo.
Ho ho
I mean, is Jeepers Creepers stealing all the ornaments?
Yeah, he's grinching
Yeah, so we were talking about it, and Boo threw a bunch of suggestions out to me, like things we could do. So we're gonna start this whole journey off with a story from the GoBots Collision Course Comet. Now let's get into this, because these are our ways to have really nice quick episodes but still give people something to listen to or watch. So Collision Course Comet.
Collision Course Comet.
So man, there is a wall of text
Or
to begin
Comet Collision Course.
with. Comet Collision
No,
Course.
it's Collision Course Comet. You're
I was
right.
gonna say it was weirdly done, so I had a kind of like okay, so I typed it right as it showed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's like a wall of text with this thing. I'm used to the other books, they usually have a lot more art going up to this.
Well, there's different versions of this book. There's a version, like the one that's on the YouTube video. Is more like the regular storybook and has more pictures. But I believe they did a second edition, and that's the one we're looking at here.
Got you.
That,
The Wayback Machine.
it cut out some of the illustrations for
That's too
walls
bad.
of text. Yeah.
That's really too bad. So yeah, man, we're at the ASC. Okay, what does ASC stand for?
I am not sure.
Okay, well
Just
we're
outside the AS. I think that's supposed to be I guess the Guardians organization. They
okay.
call it Unicom in the cartoon.
Okay.
So I think that's supposed to be like the Unicom
Okay.
base.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're at the ASC Base Observatory, and they're a scientist, which is this actually places it well within the time frame of GoBots being out. They're waiting the arrival of Halley's Comet. So
Yeah.
kind of cool.
Yeah, so this definitely sets it in 1986.
Yes. Which I was kind of surprised. Like, well, there was this thing with them like being so happy that it was a clear night, so I can really get a good look at this, because it only comes around, what, 87 years?
76 years, I
76
believe.
years, sorry. Yeah,
Yeah.
76 years. So there's a chance to do some research on it, because they're going to be long gone by the time it comes around next time.
Right. And if you noticed on the cover, it said Robo Machine Challenge the GoBots, which that was basically the trademarking, the branding for Europe.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So you
The
can
machine
find
robo.
GoBots in Robo Machine boxes. It's kind of like, remember when Beast Wars had like the Bio Combat
Oh yeah.
with the trilingual stuff? Yeah, it was kind of like that.
Yeah, well, like it depends on where you get it. Like there are Transformers have branding in different parts of the world that are slightly different, so that makes
Right,
sense.
like the Milton Bradley Transformers in
Yeah.
Europe, stuff like that.
Exactly.
So the GoBots were done as Robo Machine, which is a takeoff of Machine Robo,
Yes.
course. So,
Oh, just to also clarify, if anyone wants to find these, I'm going to try to include some pictures in the video. But if you go on to the Internet Archive, and you can borrow PDFs of this, or you can download, to read it if you'd like.
it checks them back in if you like leave them idle for a little while too.
It
So
does.
they weren't kidding when they said borrow.
It recycles the borrowing if it sees you have a lot of I guess if you're using a lot. But yeah, you can also download PDFs with the pictures and everything.
They
So
sent me an overdue fine.
they I had never could retort for that. I was trying to say something. Like, no, it's just not happening.
It's
So
too stupid to reply to.
really, yeah, it is. So they're awaiting the arrival of Halley's Comet. They call it Comet, was it
Comet Halley.
Comet Halley B or something? What, the
P.
P.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which they're going by, like, I guess the astronomical name for it.
Yes. And it was like in I guess public's, I guess the zeitgeist, it was just Halley's Comet.
Yeah, in
But
the common tongue.
In the common tongue,
And
yeah.
well, and they say that in the story that, you know, oh, you know what it is, or you call it Halley's Comet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're working and there's something coming. They hear this sound, like this like crazy sound coming up towards them. And
Well, before we get into that, I want to get into the theme song. Did you listen to the audio for
I have
this?
not listened to this, so please take it away. I want to hear about it.
Okay, it starts out with a theme song, but it's sang by female voices. They have female performers singing it. Okay, and they have this is a British book. Okay, but everybody has American accents in it, the narration and stuff. But yeah, they have uncredited female singers doing it, and it was kind of, I don't know, it was a little odd to hear it like that. So that was the biggest thing there, is I just wanted to
They
bring
didn't
that, 'cause,
have
and they
a
would go to, like, they would do interludes with the theme song throughout the audio
I
portion.
gotta listen to this now. Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, definitely check it out, because it's like when they'd have like an action scene or something, there would be a little pause where they would do the theme song. So I guess you're supposed to imagine the action happening, but there's really nothing happening because it's a book.
So essentially, it's like watching G.I. Joe Transformers and they interlude with a little gem in the
Right.
holograms. Nice.
All
Okay.
right. So yeah, please continue.
Oh, yeah. No, hey, please jump in here if you like. So yeah,
Yeah.
there's this crazy sound coming towards them, and there is this race car. It's just crashing and making a mess, and we know this raw crazy race car as Crasher.
Yes, it's Crasher, but it's not the Crasher that you know.
It's the original coloring.
Yes, all the artwork on here is done based on the toys. So Crasher is white with a visor and a silver mask.
Yeah, like it has a red and blue striping.
Yeah. So yeah, it's the first version of Crasher's toy.
Yeah, and Crasher, she's speeding along to mess with the scientists. And I don't know there was any kind of like good reason for her to do it, just to do
She
it.
just showed up and
Yeah,
they're
she
like,
showed
hey.
up, wanted to start stuff. And dude, this is honestly hands down. GoBots were really good about having really to the point names. I mean, straight to the point.
Oh, yeah. And
And
then, you know, it describes Dumper is there, you know.
no, it's GoBot hyphen dumper.
Yeah, GoBot hyphen Dumper and lowercase d. So he's just, and
He's a
it says
dump
he's
truck.
yellow.
Yes, but he's red in the picture.
Yeah, so yeah, little disparity between the text and the illustration.
But so yeah, man, he's a dump truck, and that's just the worst name possible, dumper.
I don't know, or it could be the best name ever.
He shows up, is like, you shall not mess with these scientists. He basically like pulls up and just stands up against Crasher, and Crasher's like, you're gonna ruin my fun. He's like,
And
yes, I
I
am.
just imagine him like that with like a very aristocratic voice, you know, like he's a Shakespearean actor, almost like Patrick Stewart is doing his voice, and he's a dump truck, so
I'm here to
it's
ruin
funny.
your fun, Crasher.
Yes. And yeah, that's just, it's perfect for him. Now imagine if they'd done that name instead of for him, they used it on Long Haul. And Long Haul actually makes like the butt of Devastator, so it would be funnier to have him be Dumper.
You just had to go and say it finally.
I had
It
to.
was implied. It's implied heavily. We got to trust people to come up with this on their own.
Well, and you got to think about it too, like, you know, where else have we heard the euphemism dump truck?
Yep.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
Devastator has a dump truck. So see,
I'm trucking.
Dumper, I think, is a more inspired name than people are willing to give it.
It is coming to its own. It is developed into its own. Sure, we'll give you that. Yeah, you just basically like, no, ma'am, you may not mess with these scientists. And she,
You shall not pass.
yeah, I was like, actually, I kind of pictured a Deflattermouse voice.
Oh, I could see that.
Oh, I'm like, sorry, madam, you may not mess with these scientists. And Crash was like, what? Fine.
She flies into the sky.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, I mean, at least it got that she was female. Okay. And Dumper fires power beams from his chest, which, GoBots usually do from their fists, but he did from his chest. But Crasher's main power, is her little shockwave stomp. And she can't do that when she's flying. So it's like she picked
The
the
worst.
disadvantage. Yeah. She's at a disadvantage here. So of course, she was gonna have a hard time and they ran her off. She took a hit and then left.
Yeah, essentially it's just like I know when I'm outclassed or outgunned or whatever and left.
Yeah, and there was like no real rhyme or reason for the attack.
It's like I cannot fight against your massive dump truck. I'm out.
Maybe she just wanted to watch the comet with them.
Maybe so, but like she her
They profiled her. This is renegade profiling.
dude, I bet you the GoBots always profile. They're
The
renegade.
Guardians definitely profile.
Sorry, the Guardians. Sorry. Yes, the Guardians do. She just wanted to hang kind of hang out and maybe Turbo would show up and they can hang or something, Who
Right?
knows? Who knows?
Or Leader One,
Oh yes. Back in the
that
days.
slab of beef, Leader One.
And his really awkward face. He's in that episode just like, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, it's kind of weird seeing Crasher with the visor instead of the domino mask and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, we've really grown attached to that cartoon
Yeah.
face. Yeah.
Well, and also Psykill.
Oh yeah. Which yeah, we'll see Psykill later and he's got the silver toy face. He doesn't
He
have the
does.
yellow
That was
face
weird looking.
with the 5 o'clock shadow and
Yeah. We'll see that later. So that was kind of it. Dumper goes and says, "Hey, are you guys okay?" And the scientists are like, "Yeah, man."
And Matt is inside him the whole time and doesn't say a word until they're done.
Matt's just there. He's like, "Man, do your thing. I
And
guess
he
I'll
starts making like bad dad jokes. Like, y'all are as shaken as a milkshake. I'm like, what?
Yeah, Matt.
Yeah, Matt. Very, very good. Yeah. And his voice is kind of high pitched.
I've got to listen to this now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You've got to listen to it because, he's very high pitched. So it kind of throws off the whole thing. He
Consider
doesn't sound very heroic.
he doesn't sound like he's sporting a nice mustache.
Now, Dumper's voice though on the audio, he's very like grumpy sounding. He reminded me a lot of Transformers Animated Ratchet.
That's kind of nice. I'll
Yeah.
definitely check that out now. So yeah, man, that was kind of it, They make a little, like, hey, we're just gonna watch the comet now and hang out with us. It was, kind of short and sweet.
Yeah. And then they cut over to Psykill and Crasher talking. And the way they did the voice modulation on Psykill and Crasher, they sound almost like Insecticons.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So they had, this weird like warbling kind of modulation on them.
Okay. Kind of,
So
yeah, almost. Well, I'll have to check it out just kind of before I say anything else, just so I
yeah.
better. Cool.
And Psykill wants to use a Mixaphon gravity component to direct Halley's Comet into Earth.
Oh, that's right. And so, yeah,
And
they're trying
Praxis doesn't like it.
to. Praxis is like anything.
Right?
Praxis is like the worst person in both stories, by the way.
Yeah, and well, Praxis says, well, that'd destroy the Earth. And, Psykill's like, well, yeah.
Yeah, I'm good with that. So yeah, there's this crazy like picture in the in there. It Halley's Comet looks like a sperm. It's going.
Yeah, when they start using it, that we're
Yeah, they
getting
start
ahead of
using.
there though, because we got a little
Oh,
bit
sorry.
before then. Okay, so this is when they had the intermission with the theme song as they were Thruster was launching. Okay, and Thruster is illustrated as like a silver and red rocket with
Yeah,
a
I was wondering
gold
about that because it
like
didn't look right at all.
yeah
Oh,
that
that let me miss
that's a
something.
yeah it's supposed to be Thruster, but it apparently they didn't know what Thruster looked like.
Nice.
So they arrive at the planet Mixaphon, and the Mixaphons look like reptilian monkeys
They
wearing
do.
pink jackets.
They do. They look something out of season three of Transformers.
Nah, dude, you know what they look like? They look like Johnny Chimpo from Super Troopers.
That Iranian anime.
Yeah. Afghanistan animation.
Afghanistan is right.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they look like Johnny Chimpo.
Yeah, and unfortunately, they don't come with the extra accoutrements that Johnny Chimpo does. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
So they just roll over, you
Oh
know.
yeah.
Yeah, they give him the Mixafon gravity component because they have no weapons and have no way to defend themselves. And it's like, well, why do you have this dangerous stuff then if you can't weaponize it to stop renegades from stealing it from you?
Well, I guess they didn't think renegades were going to steal it from them. They're like, oh, well, yeah, we made this cool thing.
Well, and apparently the renegades have been there several times.
Oh, I missed that. Okay.
Yeah, they've mentioned they'd been there before. Like, oh yeah, they'll give it to us or what, you know. They'll remember
They're
what happened last
pushovers.
time or whatever. So yeah. So the renegades have been bullying multiple planets.
Well, yeah, I kind of figured they would be.
Yeah.
Got to build
And
their.
then, oh, go ahead.
Also, they got to build their. I guess there are connections of things, you know, in the universe or the galaxy more
Right. They're doing the world building.
well. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, this is one world that I think we can skip. They even got like the little rings on their neck, so you know,
I do.
there's some, I guess, questionable illustration going on here.
Yeah. This actually
So, oh yeah.
They almost feel like a you remember the Star Trek animated series.
Yes, oh yeah.
It very much feels like an alien from that.
Yeah, they have that same design.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So when they get back to Earth, or they cut back to Earth, you know, we see AJ and she's Caucasian.
Yeah, there's no good way to put it. She is
They whitewashed AJ.
She's not a person of color anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Sometimes it looks like they kind of draw her with dreads.
Yeah.
But yeah, at best, she's got a Mediterranean complexion in
I
some
can see that. Yeah.
drawings.
At best, yeah, she looks kind of olive skinned sometimes.
Yeah,
That's
but
it.
not very much. But yeah,
No.
now what you were saying about Halley's Comet is when they start using the gravity component on it, it says it makes it like wobble out of its
Out of
regular
his
orbit.
orbit. Yeah.
And yeah, it looks just like a human reproductive cell. It's like,
We can say it's a sperm, yes.
yes.
That's science.
Yes.
I know I live in Alabama, but we still call it a sperm.
A spermatozoa.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, so it's in this like wah-wah-wah-wah thing. And they're like, it's gonna crash into the planet. Because that was the whole point. I
It's
think the
going right for
science
the
of
egg.
Yeah. It's a big
The
egg.
cosmic
Actually,
egg.
you know the size comparison is about right.
Yeah.
This is all an elaborate retelling of the reproductive process.
Yeah. Also, in the version that has more, I guess, more illustrations, Matt has like these weird Flash Gordon like shoulder seams come up.
That's
Like,
perfect.
yeah, you know, like it's almost like the Jetsons. You know how they had those
Yeah.
little rings on their shoulders and
Oh,
their
yeah.
elbows and stuff? Yeah, it was kind of like that. So, and I'm noticing, like, in the other version, the newer version, they drew them to look a little more like the show. Like, Matt's wearing the jeans and the jacket.
Nice.
Whereas, yeah, so maybe that's why they cut out a lot of these illustrations.
Maybe so. They didn't really work.
But they don't even know Spacey's name. They just call it the GoBot Shuttle.
Well, I mean, considering it was like GoBot Dumper.
Oh yeah. And I think they were just given like very rudimentary information
Yeah.
to
Oh,
write
yeah,
this book.
definitely.
But also Spacey's female and they describe Spacey as male. And in the audio version has a male voice actor.
Yeah.
So they
Oh,
gender swapped
yeah.
Spacey.
Okay, actually, to jump in here real quick, Reverend Ruin from our Discord, he noted, because he knows a lot of stuff of the comics industry because he's worked in it. A lot of these books, these and like the Transformers ones and other like read-along books, were like written by like Steve Ditko and company. There was like a like they were this like a fill-in like kind of thing. and write a little story. So I have to imagine someone like Ditko or someone, of that ilk, writing these horrible, horrible stories.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't see any credits really on here.
No.
They
It was just like a little moonlighting thing. They'd write up a little script and someone would do the illustrations and that was it. Probably,
Yeah.
I bet you it was scrapped comic ideas.
Yeah.
It probably is.
Or I don't even know if it was that. I think these are just here, just make up a story about the GoBots. Here's the characters. Churn it out. Because I have some of the Transformers comics. Not comics, sorry. Coloring books that Ditko illustrated.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And well, you'd be surprised because we didn't find out until later that he was the artist on those. But yeah, like the one that's like the undersea like adventure. It's got like Optimus and a shark. And there's the one they used like in Spaceballs.
I
That were
might
like, yeah. It's those types of books. But
Nice.
yeah, I've got several of those. One of them has like Sideswipe on the cover.
Spaceballs, the coloring book.
Right, exactly. It's, so yeah, a lot of those were actually illustrated by Steve Ditko.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm sure it was just like fill-in stuff. They probably got paid a small amount to do these because, there were the little easy one-off things.
Oh yeah, just churn it out. I mean, illustrators are still doing that. I mean,
Oh yeah, 100%.
they put them on Amazon now and sell them. They just self-publish. But back then, it was like, yeah, anywhere you could get work. Because I think Harland Ellison was talking about working in the comics industry, and he said it was really hard back in the day because you had the big two, and if you made one mad, you only had one option. And they kind of knew you couldn't go anywhere else with it.
So
Yeah.
you got undercut pretty badly.
Yeah. And they wanted to treat everyone like their work wasn't anything that mattered because they considered like disposable media. They figured people would read them and throw them away.
Yeah, not that they would keep them in long boxes for years and they'd be worth a fortune, but
Right. But looking at the ones from the 60s and the early 70s, that's why those are worth so much because people did throw them away.
Well, yeah, because they're kind of awful. But yeah, we weren't okay. We'll be in meta here. We weren't keeping Transformers as kids in great condition because they're toys. You played with them, like
Yeah,
the
we're
new
playing
thing
with
would come
them.
out. Yeah, they're disposable things. And obviously, some people kept their stuff, and some people had things that like in boxes for years. So now you have some of these figures that are worth a fortune because they were not treated really well as for kids. So yeah, honestly, the same thing with the comics. We think about secondary market stuff a lot because our collections and like things we're interested in, and that's exactly why these things like these comics were so sought after. I mean, we'll get into it at some point. The Yellow Cliff Jumper being on the Transformers book. What is the name of it?
It's not a book, it's a tape.
Oh, it's
Sun
tape.
Raid.
Yeah, Sunray. No one knew that was going to be worth a thing, but now we
I
have.
remember seeing it in the store and passing up on it because it's like I already had Cliff Jumper. I wasn't interested, and I
Exactly.
had the red one, so.
The right one, yes. So
Which
yeah,
oddly enough, now I have the yellow one and not the red one.
that is kind of weird, actually.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, I think I do too. No,
Yeah,
I have the red one too.
I've got the red Bumblebee and the yellow Cliff Jumper. I don't have the proper colored ones.
But do you have Bumper?
Yes.
So do I. Okay. Anyways, back to this real quick. So yeah, you we have they're using the gravity device.
Yeah,
Can't think of it.
the Mixathon gravity
Mixathon gravity.
component.
Yes, it's a very analogous name.
Yeah.
To make the comet crash into the planet.
Well,
This
and they're basically extorting Earth, basically surrender, we're going to make this comet destroy your planet.
which is pretty typical stuff. It was like very 80s villain stuff for an episode kind of thing.
Very mustache twirling.
Yes. God, that's the one thing Psykill is missing is a curled mustache you can twirl a lot of the times because the voice is perfect.
Oh yeah. I mean, this could have been like a Super Friends plot.
He
Like
probably
Lex Luthor was
was.
going to do this or Brainiac or someone.
I'm telling you, these stories sound like recycled ideas that just didn't make it. And so I could totally see that being the case. But yeah, anyways, Who is it that they sent to the field where the Mixathon gravity component was at?
Oh, it's in space.
It's a space.
Yeah, and
Okay.
that's why they got Spacey, but they called Spacey GoBot Shuttle.
That's right. I'm thinking I'm conflating the other stories. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, GoBot Shuttle battled Crasher and just outmaneuvered Crasher because, made for space and Crasher isn't.
It's not, yeah. Crasher doesn't have anything on the surface to do the Thunderbolt thing, the foot stomp thing on.
They never used it at all, so I don't think they even knew about that
Probably
ability.
not. It's weird. This takes place. I'm betting you it took place in like they wrote it in like 85.
Yeah, that's when this was at least published in 85.
Yeah.
So
So okay, well maybe they start working on it like early 85, late 84, and
yeah.
I'm sure this was just someone filling in and writing the story, so it may not have really even known about the show or know what's going on with the show. So
Yeah.
there's all that.
So they just basically just took the Mixathon gravity component away from Crasher and then redirected the comet on its normal course, and that was it.
Which, okay, I'm sorry, I'm not to science nerd this, but that would have happened. The comment would have been like, well, okay, I'm going this way now.
Yeah, so well, they used the same thing that moved it out of the way, they put it back in. So they had to really know some calculations to put it right back on the same path. And
And I'm sure our guardians knew those calculations.
yes.
100%.
So what's funny though is it just ends abruptly with
Yeah.
that. But there's no mention of returning the gravity component to the Mixafons because they protested, oh, we need it, it's the last one, and we don't have the ability to make another one and all
Oh,
this.
yeah.
But
No,
I
not at all.
knowing the Guardians, they didn't give it back to them because they rolled over so easily. Like, they give it back to the Mixafons, they're just going to turn around and give it right back to the Renegades. So you just
Yeah.
don't get it back.
Do you know that ended up in Cheyenne Mountain?
Oh, yeah, that was
Come
totally in Cheyenne Mountain.
on.
Or on Gobatron somewhere.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it. I
That
mean,
it was short and sweet.
yeah, there was like a big, like, there's just like this like pinnacle of like this crescendo of action, and it just ended.
Yeah, just oh, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we got our page count. Wrap it up.
Everything went happily ever after. So yeah, there you go. What was it? The Collision Course Comet,
That was
no lies.
Collision Course Comet from Challenge of the GoBots Robo Machine.
Yes. Yeah, high quality there. But actually,
Yes.
it wasn't bad. It was just kind of it was goofy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was what it was.
Well, it was great for probably an 8-year-old to read.
Yeah, and its function was to advertise GoBots and give you a
Yeah.
reason to buy them.
Yeah, definitely. So now we are moving on to Satellite of Doom.
Yes, this is one of the Transformers
Yes.
read along books. I believe it's Listen and Fun.
Yes. Okay, so real quick, I was so excited when I didn't listen to like these beforehand. So you told me that like Megatron, his voice actor, that we're doing this a great time of the year for this because his voice actor, if you ever watched any of the claymation Christmas things like Here Come our Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer and such.
Yeah, the Rankin Bass
Yeah,
ones.
the Rankin Bass, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. The voice actor who did Megatron also did Santa Claus.
And by Megatron, we mean Megatron in this book, not Frank
Yes.
Welker doing
Oh
it in the
no. Yeah, in this
cartoon.
book on the audio of these books. Yeah, so he was that Megatron in these books, the read along was done by what's his name? Ed What was his name again?
Oh, where did I put it? Oh, Earl Hammond.
Earl Hammond. I was going to say Ed Hammond.
Yes.
Yeah, Earl
You
Hammond.
threw me off when you said Ed. I like blanked out.
Sorry.
So yeah, Earl Hammond.
Earl Hammond,
Which
who
that's
also.
credited Steve O. Stonebreaker's site credits
Yes.
Earl
Steve
Hammond.
is.
And it sounds just like him because I'm
It
sure. Are you
does.
leading into who he is more
Yeah.
famously known as? Yeah.
Yes. This era, if you grew up watching these shows also with us, you would recognize him as Mumra, the Ever-Living. And
And
it's
he's
so
pretty much doing the Mumra
do the
voice by
Mumra
the
voice 100%. I
yeah.
was like, It's like old gods change this decayed form into Mumra, the ever living. And that's what he sounded like the entire time, because he sounded like, Soundwave. He had this grumble thing to him in the entire time. Sounded just like Mumra.
And at first, because he was a little breathy,
Yeah.
I thought he sounded like animated Megatron, like Transformers animated
See
Megatron.
that? Yeah, I
It
can see
kind
it. Sure.
of, and then first I wrote he had a mix of Transformers animated Megatron and Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life. And then as he went on, I said he sounds more like Mumm-Ra, and that's when I ran across later on Steve-O Stonebreaker's site that he's credited as Orihanna. I'm like, well, that makes sense then.
Yeah, so
And
let's say big shout out to Steve-O Stonebreaker for identifying these, and so if anyone wants to learn more about these audiobooks and who was doing the voices and a lot of the credits, check out Steve-O Stonebreaker.
well, that's really the only one he pointed out, because that's the most obvious one.
Well,
Because
yeah.
yeah, they didn't credit anybody on these books at all.
But you reached out to a certain voice actor about Soundwave, because it does sound like
It sounds kind of
something.
like him. Yeah, I haven't heard back yet, so I
Well,
don't know.
I'll add this in there. I'll put a little message on the screen if we find out by the time this airs.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyways.
Oh, well, here we go. He did reply back. That is not him.
Okay, it's not Greg Berger.
Yeah. Because we thought Soundwave sounded kind of like Greg Berger doing the Skyfire voice.
It does. It actually sounds a lot like that. It's very we're used to Soundwave sounding like he had that modulated voice. But he sounds very, I don't know. It sounds very what's a good way to put it? Like concerned all the time.
Yeah, and Megatron's attitude towards Soundwave is very harsh.
Oh yeah.
Like, he
Yeah.
talks to Soundwave like in the cartoon, he normally talks to Starscream. Like, he's very kind of insulting and condescending.
Well, we'll get to that, but Soundwave complains a lot.
Yeah.
So,
Oh, yeah. So, and the narrator sounds like a high-pitched version of Victor Crowley.
he sounds, I don't know if this is who this is, but it sounds like Casey Kasem.
It could be.
The way he, re if you think about how he did the American Top 40 sound, it sounded a lot like that. So, and I'm kind of curious if that is actually Casey Kasem, because it very much sounds like it. But we don't know for sure.
Yeah.
We'll check that out. Maybe it is, which would make
Well,
sense.
it's hard to find out because they didn't keep any records. Nobody's been able to find these out
Yeah,
in the
and I
40
mean, I'm,
years.
yeah, I know. These weren't seen as things that were going to last a long time, so obviously no
Right.
one cared. But Casey Kasem did a lot of these things. He worked all the time doing voice work. Obviously, because he was Cliffjumper in the Sumbo show, he was Shaggy and Scooby Doo, and
Yeah.
he did voices everywhere, and
Well, and he did multiple voices in Transformers. He was Blue Streak and Teletran 1
Oh,
also.
he was
Yeah.
right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, he was a very prolific '80s voice actor, and I can see him doing a narration for this. So that's just my
Oh
that's
yeah,
my.
anywhere you could get voice work,
Oh yeah,
especially back then.
voice work didn't pay like it does now. I'm not sure how it pays now, but it was a very, I don't know, wasn't looked down on as a very great career. Just it's what you're good at, so you did it.
Yeah.
So. Maybe it may be him, it may not be, but it sounds a lot like him.
Yeah. So we start out in a 200 square mile cavern beneath the Kalahari Desert.
So they're working on some elaborate plan, and Soundwave is complaining about the desert, because he's seeing the sand's getting in his gears and his tape deck, and
I
he's
don't like
talking about,
sand.
yeah,
It
pretty
gets
much.
everywhere. I mean, I was having shades of Anakin Skywalker
God, it
reading
does. I didn't get that at all, but yeah.
Soundwave complaining about sand getting in his cassette, was it cassette discs or not one of the discs or
Spools, or I don't know. Yeah, his cassette deck.
yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, he's like,
A
I don't like
cassette drives.
sand.
That's what it was. I
Sure,
had to look at my
yeah,
notes. It's
I
cassette
like
drives.
sand. Yeah, so yeah, that's essentially Soundwave is Anakin.
Yeah. And the
And he.
artwork again is like you'd see in all these books, it's based on like the box art and
Yeah,
like toy drawings.
it is. And Soundwave is like, luckily, Soundwave doesn't suffer too much from that. Megatron,
Megatron does those.
yeah, he does. He's pretty bad about that.
Did you notice also that they still put like a little bit of gold tint on Megatron?
I did.
Yeah.
And the coloring of this is kind of neat because it almost feels very watercolor
Yeah.
the way it's done. So there was a hint of it in there, but it wasn't overt.
Right.
Not like the comic. So Megatron is so excited that he lured all these carbon-based life forms here with greed to work for them.
Yeah,
He
and I
said,
mean, it's just a massive cavern.
"Yeah."
Okay, because the largest natural cavern in the world is 3,000 times smaller than this one. Okay, and currently the largest mine in the world, the Bingham Canyon Mine in Utah, only amounts to about 3 square miles of surface. And so this is 200 square miles. So this is enormous, you know. And honestly, I don't know how they would do it without it collapsing.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
But especially because there's like giant load of coal drop from.
And they're not mining the coal out, they're just
No, they're bringing.
exposing the coal.
Yeah, and Megatron asks if the lectinite charges are ready.
Yes,
Which
lectinite.
I looked at lectinite, and I don't know if you know what it is. Essentially, it's a mineral. It has a lot of, I don't know. It has a lot of quartz. It has a lot of basic things that aren't, combustible. I don't know why. And actually, it's not spelled like it is in the book. But I don't know why they use that. Maybe just they thought they found a nonsense word.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. It was supposed to be techno babble.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it actually was very similar to an actual mineral, and it would have worked. But anyways, yeah, I
Yeah.
decided to look that up.
So, okay, then we cut away to Skyfire.
Yeah.
And Skyfire is in this one. He's named Skyfire. He's not called Jetfire. He's Skyfire in this one. Okay. And he's got Optimus and Prowl on board.
Yep.
And their voices kind of sound generic with
They
their
do.
electronic voice modulation. There's like nothing that stands out.
Yeah, that was actually kind of disappointing. The only voice that stands out in this entire thing is Megatron.
Yeah. I think Megatron stands out the best.
Yeah, he does.
And you can tell he's putting everything into his performance here. He wasn't like boning it in at all.
It feels very like the Machinima Transformers show that came out like God, was it 15 years ago, 20 years
Oh
ago?
yeah. I had a friend that worked on that.
Yeah, the voice work in that though was very generic a lot of the time. Not
Yeah.
everything, but a lot of the characters that weren't main characters, they sound alike. So I could see that. And
I think
that's
a
kind
lot of
of
that falls on direction.
it totally does.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into any more of that, but that was one of my biggest complaints I had about that show. But yeah,
They
that's
find a dying human on the desert floor.
yeah, they do.
And instead of rendering assistance, they use a remote probe to read his mind and then leave him to die. Like they don't
Yeah.
help him rescue him. They're like, just read his mind.
It's enough. We're
Yeah.
good.
You try to give the guy water. They're just like,
No.
yeah, probe his mind and let's go. So they find
Yeah.
out from the probe's readout, which comes out in a printout.
Yes, I know. I love that. It's like a dot matrix. No, not actually. It reminds me of the printers we had at that point that were like you had a box of paper that would pull up and have the holes in the edge of it.
Yeah.
Kind of feels like that.
Yeah, old school, like the DMV printers.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. So it prints out and it tells them that Megatron has enslaved humans to dig in a massive cavern.
I think that's where we get the 200 square mile block of coal also.
Yeah, that it's the same place. He's basically one of the workers that got out and he's dying in the Kalahari Desert.
Yeah, man, he
And
probably died. Yes.
yeah, and the Autobots don't help him at all.
No. Yeah,
So then we cut back to Megatron and Soundwave, who have left the mine and sealed up the slaves in the coal mine.
that there there's no there's no and then this happens to the slaves. They're done.
Yeah, there's no chill. Well, he explains because his plan is to take that lectinite explosion and use it to forge a giant diamond out of the coal. And he figures, well, the humans are made out of carbon, so that's just more carbon for the diamond. So he plans on, yeah, blowing them up, and their carbon will be made part of his giant diamond that he's trying to make.
The Autobots do not save the human slaves.
No, not at all. And then
Nope.
the lectinite explosion is just, they describe it as more powerful than any hydrogen bomb. So it's like even more powerful than the Tsar Bomba, which we talked about not too long ago.
I love that so much.
Yeah. And it killed all the slaves and created this giant diamond.
Not to gloss over it too fast. The diamond looks like something like you would find on some like it looks like a big piece of costume jewelry.
Yeah, it looks like it's straight out of De Beers.
Oh, it does.
You know what
100%.
this is? This is the ultimate blood diamond.
Yes, it is.
So
Yes, it is.
Megatron creates the ultimate blood diamond. Yeah,
100% that.
it's not even like a rough diamond. It's like perfectly faceted and everything just right off the bat.
It came out cut perfectly.
That is Cybertronian efficiency at its best.
But next, Megatron and Soundwave go to Brazil's Mato Grosso and to launch a satellite.
Yeah, because he's planning on using it as a giant lens for the satellite.
I did a little research on Mato Grosso. It's a state in southwest Brazil that's covered like the Amazon, Pantanal wetlands, and the Savannah Plains. It borders Bolivia, so it's like down there in the bottom left of Brazil.
Oh, okay.
It's got like 3 million people who live in it, but it's a large state, which Brazil is huge anyways.
Yeah.
So it's I mean, it kind of looks like it's the size of I don't know, like two of Colorado's put together. But
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
it's got a lot of the Amazon rainforest there. It's got a lot of the Pantanal wetlands. It's got a national park there, which you like, apparently they have like cliffs and caverns and stuff. But yeah, and also plains. But that's where they decided to go to do it, which kind of where they just how they describe it makes a lot of sense.
I knew when we, yeah, I saw that it had a rainforest component to the story that you were just going to dive right on that. That's your forte.
I t totally did. Soundwave starts complaining about the humidity now.
Oh yeah, his cassette drives hate the humidity. It's as bad as the sand. So
And he is just not happy with anything.
he doesn't like Tatooine. He doesn't like Dagobah. So
Not even Mustafar. It's all garbage to him.
right. Oh, we're gonna get to Mustafar later.
So yeah, Bumblebee is spying on them in the jungle. He's just there in the jungle watching them.
And that's it. Yeah. We just find out there. And the animation on that part, because they'll try to do like a little animatic for the book, is just the picture of Bumblebee just kind of sliding across the screen.
I gotta
Completely
see that now.
unanimated. Yeah. It's just a still of Bumblebee moving across.
God, I've gotta see that now. And then like suddenly like Skyfire jumps out and Optimus breaks the radio silence. He's like, Skyfire. Oh, actually, they say it really awkwardly. Air Guardian Skyfire. Basically, go shoot down the rocket.
Right.
And did you catch that Skyfire in this has null rays?
Yes, he's using null rays. And I looked it up and I couldn't find anywhere else that he as Jetfire or whatever has null rays.
Nope. He also uses rockets. Which
Yeah, he has right. Well, he has rockets listed in his thing. He has like I guess heat seeking missiles. But yeah, and all of his toy profiles like Transformers Universe, stuff like that. He has particle beam cannons, heat seeking missiles, and his rifle on the toy is listed as a photon missile launcher. But nowhere does it mention null rays. He must have borrowed them from his old friend Starscream.
Well, Starscream's not in this, so maybe he did.
Yeah.
So he doesn't really do enough to the rocket. The rocket takes off, and it's
It's completely ineffectual. It's like the Autobots are the worst in this one because they don't save the dying escapee. They don't save any of the slaves. They don't stop the rocket.
And on top of that, I know you're going with next in this. They Skyfire. Well, no, okay. So it goes up in space. Skyfire goes back and gets fueled up and stuff to go after it.
Yeah, well, Megatron self-destructs the launch complex.
Yeah.
And then, they talk about, they again compare it to hydrogen bombs, like how strong the weaponry will be and all. And it's like that seems to be the metric for Decepticon weapons in the story is hydrogen bombs.
Pretty rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so Skyfire tries to go after the satellite, the rocket again. Doesn't do a thing to it, and he uses all his fuel to get up there. And so he just, he flings back into Earth's atmosphere and burns up.
Well, they fire the satellite first before they do this.
Yeah. But
And the idea between the satellite is they're going to focus the sunbeams down into the Rocky Mountains, and they're going to melt the Rocky Mountains to release the oil reserves in them.
Which I didn't realize they had oil reserves in them.
Oh yes, actually the UNITA or is that right? Sorry. Yeah, UINTA the Pekants and the Greater Green River Basins contain the world's largest known oil shale deposits.
Oh, I did not
They're
know
in the
that. That's
Rocky Mountains,
horrible.
yes.
So they're going to melt the Rocky Mountains to release all the oil into the ocean.
Yeah, or just onto the surface and then suck it all up or
Yeah, or
whatever.
make an ocean of oil is what I think
Yeah.
what it is.
And I mean I'd have to wonder about the heat ray like igniting the oil, because that's why oil is used as fuel because it's combustible.
I think as well, it's combustible, but as crude, I think it's a lot harder to combust, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I don't know, because you see some of those oil wells when they go up and they
Oh
catch on
yeah.
fire, like in Kuwait.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, it'll
Deepwater
burn,
Horizon.
especially. Yeah, and if you're melting mountains,
True.
that's
Yeah.
definitely hot enough. So
Yep.
the science here is real shaky.
Well, I miss the Decepticons being very green energy focused.
Yeah.
Because they're definitely not in this.
So they do it. The Autobots do not stop them from melting the Rocky
Nope.
Mountains, and they melt the Rocky Mountains. So like everyone in Colorado, I guess all the way through Montana into Canada, all dead.
There's a
Terrible.
horse fires, there's melting mountains.
Oh yeah, it's an environmental disaster. It's probably worse than like Yellowstone going off.
Oh yeah, 100%
Yeah, easily.
is.
So yeah, there's got to be millions dead just from this blast. And the
Well,
Autobots did like nothing to stop it.
they couldn't do anything except what do they do here?
Well, first they try to send Skyfire up,
Yep.
and but he doesn't have the fuel to reach the satellite. So Ratchet attaches auxiliary booster tanks to Skyfire, and it's still not enough fuel for him to return safely, though.
Yeah, so he falls back into Earth, basically
Yeah,
burns up. He's done.
he's burned in re-entry, and it didn't stop the satellite. So that was a waste.
Yeah, he's so we just offed the amazing Air Guardian Skyfire, as I think
Yeah.
Optus called him or something like that.
I like that Megatron has a line here is telling prepare to meet your mechanic.
Yes.
I believe he was talking to Optimus Prime in
He
that one.
was. He was. I
Yeah.
remember that.
And so, oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, I don't know where Optimus Prime and Sunstreaker were. I didn't. It was kind of it was very fuzzy where he was. They were.
Yeah, well, they kind of came up with this like last minute plan B,
Yeah.
and they electromagnetically flew into space, which
Which,
that should have been plan A.
right?
Since Skyfire didn't have the fuel for it, then maybe this should have just been plan A. But yeah, they fly electromagnetically into space with a giant piece of polished metal,
Also known as
a mirror. And so yeah, they just use a mirror to deflect the sunbeam back into space at the satellite and destroy it.
yeah, you Megatron's like, no, not a mirror.
And if they had this
Weapon.
ability and it seemed pretty easy for them to do it, maybe they could have done it before the Rocky Mountains were melted into lava.
You would hope, yeah.
Yeah. So the Autobots are the worst.
They're really terrible in this story.
Yeah.
Actually, they're not great in any of the other stories I've read, but yeah, they're really terrible in this story.
Yeah. And then the Autobots fly down to the Northeast United States. So I guess the Decepticon secret base was like in New England or something.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah. And they use thermo excavator missiles to peel open Megatron's secret underground base.
I don't have words for this. This seems such like a convoluted, I don't know, a convoluted, like, here's where we are, here's where we end up.
Yeah. But it's a ballsy story. They've killed a lot of people.
A
They have a lot
lot
of
of people.
collateral damage in this story, more so I think than anything they did in the cartoon
Oh God, yes.
or even in the comics. They
Yeah. That was it. This is the story where is this the one where Megatron and Soundwave get into an like an auger and
Yeah,
like drill
they got a mole machine.
a mole machine? That's what it is. They just drill. They leave like like a bad villain in an 80s cartoon. Like, ah, we'll get you next time, Optimus. And they leave in their mole machine.
Yeah, Soundwave says we have the turbine mole machine still, so they hop in the turbine mole machine and drill out of their subterranean base because it's been exposed. And Megatron yells, "Optimus Prime, you metallic nemesis,"
Yeah.
which is a pretty weak insult.
It's yeah. It's bad. He tried. He tried to find a an insult to really make Optimus Prime, upset. And he could tell he's flustered. He couldn't come up with a good one, so that's what we end up with.
Yeah.
So here you are.
And that's
That's
the
kind of
story. That's it.
okay. First of all, this one hits a lot harder than the GoBot one. Like
Yeah.
really hard.
No one was hurt in the GoBot story.
No, it was like, well, I mean, scientists were almost hurt.
Yeah.
Crasher's ego was hurt. That's kind of it.
The Guardians were more effective at protecting people, though, in that story. The
Weird.
Autobots protected nobody.
Even like they just actively don't do anything to them.
Yeah. And Bumblebee did nothing either. It's like
He
he was
walked
just there
across the
watching.
screen.
Yeah, that was it. Like he was there.
The way you describe it reminds me of the you remember the Price is Right game where you had the Alpine hiker?
Oh, yeah.
Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger.
It sounds like
That one, yeah.
what you describe
That's
Bumblebee.
pretty much what it was, honestly. It wasn't far from that at all.
Was one of my favorite games of Price is Right.
Oh,
That's
that's
all.
still like my favorite one to watch. If I'm like flipping channels like early in the morning and that one's on, I stop and watch that.
Oh God. Oh, poor Bumblebee. He fell off the end of the mountain.
Yeah. I've
Okay.
even watched that on like Amazon Live every once in a while. They'll have like the old
Yeah.
Bob Barker episodes and oh, they got Cliffhanger. We got to watch this.
Blinko and Cliffhanger. Those are the ones.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, so yeah, this is Satellite of Doom.
Yeah, and it was.
It very much was. This exactly as advertised.
And it's basically what the Planet Buster was in Beast Wars.
Actually, yeah, it kind of was. Oh, it was.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is where they got the idea for the Planet Buster.
I don't think DeTillio and Forward ever looked at this book.
Tatelia is like, dude, okay, look, there's this really bad story, but hear me out.
Yeah, it had a great plot device.
People died.
Yeah,
We
I
can
mean,
wipe out the planet.
the story would have been better, or I guess shorter, if he just like aimed at the Autobots.
Yeah. Well, he
Because I mean, if
couldn't.
you got a weapon that can do that, then I mean, you melted mountains, dude.
Take out your metallic nemesis.
Point it at. There's a mountain you can point it at. It's called Mount St. Hilary. Yeah.
Though honestly, he didn't really have a lot to worry about with the Autobots for the most part.
Yeah, apparently he wasn't worried about him at all. And
Not at
it's only
all.
him and Soundwave. There are no other Decepticons in this story.
Dude, they are exactly like they almost feel like villains like a I don't know the Batman 60s or 70s show where like there was always the Penguin and his guys would go off in a submarine somewhere and like disappear. That's kind of
Yeah.
what it feels like at the end.
I was kind of picking up shades of like Mr. Burns and Smithers.
I can see that too.
Yeah. Because
So.
Megatron was pretty abusive towards Soundwave.
Sir, my tape deck doesn't work anymore. I've got sand everywhere.
I've got sand in it. And all this talk about his tape deck, and none of the cassette robots show up at all.
Oh, there's one point where he Megatron slaps him so hard on the back, he says a tape almost comes out. That was the only mention of that, yeah.
I can't have any other characters popping in,
No. Gotta pay more people to do voice work.
We got a budget, and you can't just draw everybody.
No, not at all. That's okay
So
though.
they were fun reads though. I'll give them that. It's definitely, and it's not in any other continuity apparently. This doesn't fit with anything else.
Yeah, definitely. So thank you, Steve O. Stonebreaker, for having some information on this, and definitely check out his website if you want to check out more of this. They're all also if you want to go to the Internet Archive and sign in, you can borrow books, books as they were, and read these really quickly. They're
Yeah,
not hard reads.
and TF Raw has the audio and the
Oh, that's
little
right.
VHS versions up on their YouTube channel. So
That's
you
right.
can
You
check
sent me
out
that link.
check out TF Raw if you want to actually hear it and see the terrible animation.
But it's worth it, honestly, if you just want to listen to Megatron.
Oh
It's
yeah.
worth it.
Yeah. Megatron's voice is like the star of this show.
100% is. It actually kind of reminds me of it's he doesn't a very garbled, like almost slurring kind of way, just like Mumra. Just like Mumra.
I mean, yeah, it's obviously that it's Earl Hammond. Unless, so there was somebody else in the 80s doing the same exact voice.
Yes. All right. Well, everyone, I hope you have a wonderful whatever you celebrate,
Yeah,
Christmas,
happy
Hanukkah,
holidays.
holiday, winter solstice. I don't know. I don't know enough to know what it's all out there, but whatever you celebrate, if you just want to hang out with family like we do, enjoy. And
Or
hopefully,
avoid family like I do.
well, yes, we don't have a choice in that, but
Yeah,
yeah. Anyways, thanks for everyone for being here. Check out the Discord. Give us a thumbs up on your local or your local your favorite streaming app or on YouTube. Check out the show. Once again, thank you, Jacqueline Adams, for being very active in the comments. Please, everyone else, if you want to say something to us, leave a comment in the comments section of the videos. Email us at morethanmeetstheseguys@gmail.com or come to the Discord. We're chill. It's kind of nice. We can discuss things and everyday lives or the episodes or some weird thing you came across.
Oh, we're fun. We're a little rambunctious too. We're not like old fuddy duddies.
We are old, but not funny.
Yes. Yeah.
Y'all.
You wouldn't know it by talking to us.
Definitely not me. You could be any age, who knows? You're a deeper creeper. So anyways, everyone, thanks a lot for being here this week. Check us out and hope to hear you from you next time. And Boo, have anything to say on the way out?
Bye.
Bye.